The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Matt. So what do you call a fly without wings?
A land.
A walk.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales.
All right, everybody, here we are again. Matt, how you doing tonight, brother?
I am dry now. I was soaking wet earlier because we had a huge storm on us for about two straight hours where you couldn't even see.
Dude, we
got
that. I had
to slosh my way out here.
Yeah, right. Rowing your boat out there. We got that last week, so y'all must be like a week behind the rain on us, because we had that last week, and 2 a.m. one morning we got woke up by what sounded like bombs going off, and it was just the thunder and lightning.
Man, yeah, no, I don't mind the rumbling and everything. Mm-hmm. I just don't want the big huge storm in the middle of the night.
Oh, dude, yeah, I hate it when they blow through at night. Because you can't see what's coming, you know, and here with the NATO's here, I don't like that.
And I don't wake up.
No.
I mean, you know, I don't wake up, and, you know, Amanda's waking me up. All of the dadgum weather radios are going off at once, and I'm, you know,
yeah.
We got to get in the hallway.
If there's a tornado that you see a picture on the news, there's a bed flying through the air, picked up by a tornado, and Matt is still asleep, laying on the bed as it's going across.
With a little nightcap, you know.
So before we get too far off talking about Matt getting sucked up in his bed by a NATO, we will say go over to patreon.com/graveyardtales. You can sign up to become a patron. You can click that little widget that's up above my head, the QR code thing there. And go over to Patreon, sign up, become one of our patrons. We love our patrons. But you can choose $1, $5, or $10 levels. All levels get a short bonus episode a week. You get 3 to 4 a month.
Yeah, that's great.
But
bonus shows.
Oh yeah, bonus shows.
Keep talking.
So you can sign
subliminal messages
and
here.
Get right. I was trying, but my brain does not like to do that. If I can hear it, I want to comment. All of our levels get a bonus episode a week, and it's usually like a Graveyard Tales topic that we couldn't do a full hour on. Uh-huh. Or hour and a half. So you get a shorter Graveyard Tales episode. Then if you move up to $5, you get that, plus you get the ad-free audio and video versions of our episodes. Then if you move up to $10, you get all of that, Plus, you get our second show, Side Quest, which is a totally different take on me and Matt. We play games sometimes. Sometimes I tell Matt scary survival stories that makes him sweat and have nightmares. Sometimes we eat nasty jelly beans and drink weird sodas. So it's just a different take on me and Matt.
Yep. And above all else, you are helping support the show, and we appreciate it so much.
Oh yeah.
We just, all of that extra bonus stuff is just our way to say thank you for supporting the work that we do.
Absolutely. We wouldn't be doing this almost 9 years if it wasn't for the fine people over at Patreon and supporting us that way, allowing us to keep doing the weird stuff that we're doing. Speaking of ads, if we have an ad, go check our sponsors. You can find the links in our show notes. Plus, you can find the discount code to get you a little discount on a cool product that we think you will enjoy. All right, Matt. So on that note, why don't you tell us, what are we talking about tonight, brother?
Okay, you could walk into an elementary school classroom and ask a bunch of third graders to name a pirate, and chances are somebody is going to immediately yell Blackbeard.
Mm-hmm.
And that says a lot about this man's legacy.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're talking about a guy that died over 300 years ago. And there's people that can't tell you who the vice president was 10 years ago. But right. Everybody knows Blackbeard. And if we're being honest, I mean, he had a pretty good marketing strategy. I mean, the guy literally stuck slow-burning fuses in his beard before battle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, imagine seeing that coming at your ship. You know, you're already worried about pirates, and now Captain Fireface is sailing straight at you, looking like some kind of demon. You know, I mean, that's insane. But the crazy thing is, it worked. A lot of the pirate success wasn't necessarily about fighting. It was about convincing people not to fight. If your target ship surrendered immediately, everybody lived.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody got shot. No one got stabbed, you know, and you got their stuff.
Yep.
It's a win-win if you're a pirate, you know.
Right. Plus, they live to tell the tale of you.
Exactly. And Blackbeard understood that. So he created an image, an identity that turned into a legend more than 300 years later.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when most people think of pirates, they tend to picture the movie versions, you know, treasure maps and talking parrots and, you know, Johnny Depp and, you know,
peg legs
and hook hands. But the reality was not as romantic. You know, piracy during the Golden Age was brutal. Ships disappeared, people were murdered, and entire coastal communities lived in fear of pirate attacks. And so trade routes became extremely dangerous. Governments launched massive campaigns to hunt these guys down. And through all that chaos, one pirate managed to become the face of the entire era. And that was Edward Teach, or Thatch, or Thatch, however you want to spell it. Historians argue about how his name was actually spelled, and apparently even Blackbeard himself wasn't really sure, but regardless of how you spell it, his reputation became legendary, and stories about him spread throughout the American colonies and across the Caribbean and eventually around the world. And his legend didn't stop when he died.
Right.
In fact, you could say it got a lot bigger.
Oh, yeah.
Because after his death, people began claiming that Blackbeard's ghost still haunted the waters where he met his end. And some say his headless body continued swimming after it was decapitated.
That's always been crazy to me, that legend.
And there's been strange lights appearing over the water. Some people report seeing a dark figure walking on the shore on stormy nights. And eventually those stories became almost as famous as the pirate himself. So before we get into all that supernatural stuff, we should discuss, you know, the actual man, you know, who was Blackbeard? Where did he come from? How did he fit into this golden age of piracy? Mm-hmm. You know, who were his contemporaries, and what made this, you know, such a fascinating era in history? Yeah. You know, because believe it or not, some of the real historical details are just as wild as the ghost stories are.
Mm-hmm.
So, Adam, take us back to the beginning and tell us who exactly was Blackbeard.
All right. So, as we always say, go check our sources down at the bottom of the show notes. You can find where we found all the information. Everything we talk about tonight is sourced and referenced in our show notes. Now, we're going to touch on Blackbeard, like Matt said, but we're also going to touch on a few others in lead up to Blackbeard. So it kind of gives you not only an idea of who Blackbeard was, but who Blackbeard was compared to his brothers and sisters in arms.
Exactly. We'll say. Yeah, I mean, that's really important because he didn't just become what he was by mm-hmm. himself and then it's all over. I mean, yep.
He wasn't a lone ship in a bottle.
The whole conglomerate of pirates helped to elevate him to the status that he had.
Right. And before I get into it, Matt and I were talking last week about the golden age of piracy. And Matt and I both have always been fascinated with pirates and the legends of pirates and who they were and just the era that they lived. Like, for me, it's the kind of lawless nature of the ocean and how they could get away so quick and how they did it for as long as they did it. Even with, like, the British Navy coming after him, all this stuff. But I could not be a pirate. I could not live my life on a seafaring vessel because you know me.
I don't think so.
I don't want to get out there in the open ocean with no land around.
That's it, yeah.
If you had land pirates where it was like a ship on four wheels going through the desert, I'm fine with you. Yeah. I'll do it. I'll pirate all the day with you, but
land,
I can't
land shark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Land shark. Land pirate.
Yeah, I can do that. But I don't want to be out in the middle of the ocean and something go wrong. But kind of to reiterate what Matt was saying,
I guess those are called carjackers.
Yeah. Nowadays it wouldn't be. So I retract that. I don't want to be a carjacker.
Yeah, just on a much smaller scale, you know.
Yeah, a tiny scale compared to pirates. But to reiterate what Matt was saying, the golden age of piracy was a violent and chaotic period, and it stretched from the late 1600s into the early 1700s. It was an era when empires fought for control of the seas, when fortunes could be won or lost in a single voyage, and when some men and women decided they would rather live outside the law than under it. So tonight we're going to meet some of the most famous pirates who ever lived. A man who plundered cities and became a knight. A young pirate prince whose career ended in a storm. The most feared pirate of all time. Two women who shattered every expectation of their era. And one ruthless outlaw whose own crew eventually turned against him. So first, let's take a look at Sir Henry Morgan. Now, personally, I'd heard the names of all the pirates that we're going to cover tonight. Mm-hmm. Some people might not have, but there was a lot more information to them than I thought there was.
Oh, man, there is. I have watched so many documentaries and stuff about these individuals. It's just, mm-hmm. in fact, for years and years, there was a boat store right down the street from my house called Calico Jack's, and their logo was a skull and crossbones, like a pirate flag.
That's cool.
I didn't know the history behind that until I really started digging into it, and then I learned who Calico Jack really was.
Calico Jack Rackham.
That's right.
Yep. All right. So long before Blackbeard terrorized the Atlantic, there was Henry Morgan. He was born in Wales around 1635, and Morgan arrived in the Caribbean during a time when Spain and England were locked in a bitter struggle for control of the New World. To England, Morgan was a privateer. To Spain, he was a pirate. The distinction depended entirely on which flag happened to be flying over your city when he arrived. Morgan built his reputation by attacking Spanish settlements throughout the Caribbean. He wasn't interested in robbing individual merchant ships. He wanted entire cities. In 1668, he launched one of the most daring raids in pirate history. His target was Portobello. Great mushroom.
You beat me to it.
The city was heavily fortified and protected by massive Spanish defenses. Many believed it was impossible to capture. Morgan disagreed. Under cover of darkness, his men stormed the defenses and overwhelmed the city. The victory shocked the Spanish Empire, but Morgan was just getting started. A few years later, he led an even larger expedition against Panama City. More than 1,000 buccaneers marched through jungles, crossed rivers, and battled Spanish defenders before reaching one of the wealthiest cities in the Americas. When the fighting ended, Panama City burned. Whether Morgan ordered the fire remains a matter of debate. What isn't debated is that the city was devastated.
I mean, just think about all those neon pink and green bikinis and all of the little sunglasses with the little slits in them.
And you know, all the sharks in formaldehyde or whatever that boiled over.
Yeah, the shark tooth necklaces and the puka shells. Man, that stuff went up in flames.
Oh, that stuff's highly flammable. Have you seen those knee boards catch on fire? Those go up, man.
They just kind of melt, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy. So the attack became one of the most famous pirate raids in history. Ironically, by the time Morgan carried out the assault, England and Spain had already signed a peace treaty. So this was a unsanctioned privateer thing, but
I mean,
still claimed
he had a license to be a pirate. And he still went too far.
Yeah, right. He pirated the pirates. Now, Morgan was arrested and sent back to England. Well, many expected a prison cell. Instead, he received something else entirely. A knighthood.
Yeah, that's right.
King Charles II knighted him. Sir Henry Morgan returned to Jamaica as lieutenant governor. One of history's most successful pirates had become part of the government. Only in the Caribbean could a pirate become a politician.
Hey, you know, look, if you look through history, there's a lot of people that think some of those politicians were actually pirates anyway.
Valid point. Valid point. So the next guy we got to look at is Black Sam Bellamy. Now, he's known as the Pirate Prince. If Morgan represented ambition, Samuel Bellamy represented freedom. At least that's how the legends tell it. So according to popular stories, Bellamy fell in love with a young woman named Maria Hallett in Cape Cod. Her family supposedly rejected him because he was poor. So Bellamy sailed away determined to make his fortune. Whether that story is entirely true is impossible to know, but it became part of the mythology surrounding him. So Bellamy entered the pirate world around 1716. Within a single year, he had become one of the most successful pirates in the Atlantic. He captured dozens of ships. His greatest prize was the Whydah Galley. Originally a slave ship, the Whydah was large, fast, and heavily armed. Bellamy transformed it into a pirate flagship. Many accounts describe Bellamy as more idealistic than most pirates. One famous quote attributed to him paints wealthy merchants as hypocrites who robbed people through laws while pirates simply took what they wanted openly. Whether he truly believed those words or not, They helped create the image of Bellamy as a kind of pirate Robin Hood. But unlike Robin Hood stories, pirate lives rarely end happily.
Yeah, they don't seem to be as romantic as they are in the movies, you know?
No, not usually. In April of 1717, Bellamy's fleet encountered a violent storm off Cape Cod. See, here's another reason why I would not be a pirate. You're just subject to the storms of the seas.
Yeah, that's true. And
the Whydah was smashed against a sandbar. More than 100 of his men drowned. Bellamy died at just 28 years old. His pirate career had lasted little more than a year.
That's crazy.
Right?
I mean, you have all these stories about some of these guys, and you realize that a lot of them just had these little short runs. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like they do stuff that would have taken them decades to do.
Right.
And it was just really short. And then he died at 28, didn't even make it to 30.
I know. And like I said, lasted a little more than a year, but he became one of the most famous pirates in history. Perhaps because people have always loved stories about young rebels who die before they grow old.
Yeah.
But it could also be that, I mean, when you just get out there and go full bore.
Yeah.
it's literal burning the candle at both ends kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they didn't, Sam Bellamy for sure. He wasn't a strategist. You know, it was all or nothing. Here we go. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to kill them.
Yeah.
Then we're going to rob them and we're going to sink them. You know, it's like, well, come on. How are we going to do all that? You know?
And then what next? Then we go do it again.
I always think of those guys, you know, in the old medieval movies where they have that big, huge map. Mm-hmm. And they've got all these cool little figurines that they push around with sticks. It's like they're playing the coolest game of Risk ever. You know, he didn't have that.
No. He didn't have that.
He barely slept to get all this done in a year.
Yeah, he was a typical 28-year-old.
Pretty much.
Just going at it hardcore, you know. I remember those days. Now I need a nap midway through a raid or something.
Although, you know, the old saying, you know, live hard, die young, and leave a good looking corpse. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I think my corpse would be better looking now than it would then.
Yeah, for sure. Now, let's look at two women who were pirates, Anne Bonny and Mary Read. Now, the pirate world was overwhelmingly male, which makes Anne Bonny and Mary Read all the more remarkable. Anne Bonny was born in Ireland and eventually found herself in the Caribbean. She was strong-willed, rebellious, and unwilling to accept the limitations society placed on women. Mary Read's story was even stranger. According to tradition, she spent much of her youth disguised as a boy. She reportedly served as a sailor and even as a soldier before eventually finding her way into piracy. All of this while she was dressed as a guy so that she would get to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the two women joined the crew of Calico Jack Rackham. Now, I didn't put this in my notes, but this is one of the things that I remember. Anne Bonny was on the ship first. Mary Read joined the crew dressed as a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And Bonny figured out that that was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then they became the best of buds.
Uh-huh.
And supposedly, Anne Bonny was in a romantic relationship with Calico Jack Rackham.
Yes.
During that time.
According to all the literature, according to the documentaries, and I was telling you earlier the other day about the show Black Sails,
mm-hmm.
and that it plays that way between Anne and Jack in that show as well.
Okay. All right.
But I mean, those three alone were very unique characters in all of this pirate lore. I mean, mm-hmm. they had such an impact. Just think about this. Think about, you know, the time between the 1600s and 1700s, how difficult it was for a woman to be treated as anything but a man's property, you know, or, you know, unless you were royalty, you know, you had some standing. For a woman to be able to garner the ability to command male pirates, you know, on her ship.
Yep.
That is unbelievably impressive.
Yep.
So she must have been just like, don't cross her, 'cause she'll cut you.
Right.
I mean, seriously.
And that's the truth. I mean, unlike many of the pirate legends about women on ships, witnesses confirmed that Anne and Mary fought alongside the men.
Yeah.
They carried weapons, they participated in raids, and they earned reputations as fierce fighters. Again, this is something I didn't put in my notes, but Anne Bonny was known to, during a fight, she would flash the men of the opposing crew and it would screw them all up.
Oh, yeah.
And so that her crew could go attack them more. Yeah. So she's fighting. She backs off and flashes them. And they're like, huh? And then she guts them. So
we're simple creatures.
Oh, yeah. Men are
easily distracted.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, squirrel. And by squirrel, I mean, I'm going to keep reading. Their most famous moment came during their capture in 1720. Pirate hunters attacked Rackham's ship. According to later accounts, most of the men were drunk and hiding below deck. Anne and Mary were among the few still fighting. After capture, the entire crew was sentenced to hang, but Anne and Mary used a legal loophole. Both of them claimed to be pregnant. So the law prohibited executing pregnant women. Their executions were postponed. Mary ended up dying in prison. Well, Anne disappeared from the historical record. No one knows exactly what happened to her. Some believed that she was released by wealthy relatives. Some think that would be her dad found out where she was and came and bailed her out and then moved her. Like, you go over here and live over here where they don't know where you're at.
Or who you are. Or who you used to be.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Others think that she just started a new life under a different identity. So, I mean, that kind of ties into what we were talking about. But history just loses track of her.
Yeah.
So we don't know where she is or where she was. And sometimes mysteries create better legends than facts ever could.
Oh, sure. I've read that too about her potentially having like family that had some wealth or even standing, like a position. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of how she was able to get to that point, because she had a little bit of money. She had, you know, education, you know, so she wasn't dumb, you know, mm-hmm. She knew a lot about the world, and she knew how to talk, you know,
yep.
how to manipulate people and convince them to follow her. And with a little bit of coin in her pocket, you know, she got a long way. We don't know that for sure. But I would imagine that if that was the case, it sure didn't hurt with her getting her pirate career off the ground.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, let's talk Charles Vane. Vane gained a reputation as one of the most ruthless pirates operating out of Nassau. He had little interest in pardons, little interest in compromise, and absolutely no intention of surrendering. In 1718, the British government finally decided enough was enough. Governor Woods I guess that's Woods Rogers. That's the way I have pronounced it. W-O-O-D-E-S.
It's the way I've always
Could
heard
be Woodus. Yeah. Woods Rogers arrived in Nassau, determined to crush piracy once and for all. Many pirates accepted royal pardons. Vane refused. When British ships entered Nassau Harbor, he set fire to a captured vessel and sent it drifting toward them like a floating bomb. The chaos allowed him to escape. It was one of the most dramatic escapes in pirate history, but Vane's downfall came from within. One day, his crew encountered a powerful French warship. Vane decided not to attack. Well, his men interpreted caution as cowardice. Pirates were among the few organizations in the world where leaders could literally be voted out of office. And that's exactly what happened. The crew removed Vane as captain, replacing him with none other than Calico Jack Rackham.
That's right.
So Vane never recovered from this. A hurricane ended up wrecking his ship. He became stranded on a remote island, and eventually he got rescued. But his identity was discovered. He was arrested, tried, and sentenced to death. And in 1721, Charles Vane was hanged. His body was displayed in chains as a warning to every pirate who dreamed of challenging the British Empire. So, I mean, we see so far that Vane preceded Rackham. And then when Rackham took over, then we see Anne Bonny and Mary Read come in. So we see how closely all these pirates are tied. And they would tie together with our next guy.
Yep. And just a little quick fun fact about Jack Rackham. He was the one who developed the Jolly Roger.
That's right.
The skull with the crossed. His was, I think, was the crossed cutlasses, not the crossbones. But that was his flag. So that image that is just synonymous with pirates was actually Calico Jack's flag.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy the legacy that these pirates have left, not just the stories of their lives and their death, but the stuff we use that we recognize real quick today. We might not know who did it, but, you know, it came from one of these people. And the next one we have is Blackbeard. Now, the name alone carries weight 3 centuries later. Enough that Captain Barbossa on Pirates of the Caribbean was actually modeled after him. So, one of the biggest pirates of modern times, you know, portrayed in modern times, was Captain Barbossa, and he was modeled after Blackbeard. Now, nobody knows exactly where Edward Teach was born. Most historians believe it was Bristol, England, around 1680. His early life remains largely hidden from history. But by the early 1700s, he was sailing in the Caribbean and learning the trade of piracy. Unlike many pirates, Blackbeard understood something important. Fear was more valuable than violence. A dead merchant captain couldn't spread stories, but a terrified survivor could. So Blackbeard created perhaps the greatest personal brand in criminal history. He grew this massive Blackbeard, and before battle, like Matt said, he wove slow-burning fuses into it. And when lit, the fuses filled the air around his face with smoke. Witnesses described him looking like a demon emerging from hell itself. Imagine standing on the deck of a merchant ship. The horizon suddenly fills with black sails. Cannons appear through the fog. And at the front stands a giant man whose beard appears to be on fire. Many crews surrendered immediately. Now, that was exactly what Blackbeard wanted. His greatest success came in 1717 when he captured a French slave ship called La Concorde. He renamed it Queen Anne's Revenge. Now, the Vessel became one of the most powerful pirate ships in existence. Armed with roughly 40 guns and crewed by hundreds of pirates, it transformed Blackbeard from a successful pirate into something much larger. For a brief period, he effectively commanded a small navy. Then came Charleston. In 1718, Blackbeard sailed into the harbor of Charlestown, South Carolina. Rather than attacking the city directly, he blockaded it. Ships attempting to enter or leave were seized, passengers were taken hostage, and merchants panicked. The colony found itself completely at the mercy of a pirate. What did Blackbeard demand from the colony? Wasn't gold, silver, jewels? Medicine. He wanted a chest of medical supplies. Once he received it, he released his prisoners and sailed away. Which, that, to me, shows A, intelligence and savvy.
Right.
And B, that he cared about his crew. Because if you didn't care about your crew, if one of them was hurt or sick, you'd just throw them overboard. Get you another one. You know?
And I'm sure...
He was trying to take care of them.
And that garnered a lot of respect. And if your crew respected you, they were much less likely to mutiny.
Mm-hmm.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, the event demonstrated just how powerful Blackbeard had become. A single pirate captain had humbled one of Britain's most important colonial ports. At the height of his power, stories about Blackbeard spread everywhere. Some sailors claimed that he could not be killed. Others said he had made a pact with the devil. There were whispers that bullets couldn't harm him, that flames followed him wherever he went, that dark magic protected him. Most of these stories were nonsense. But Blackbeard encouraged them. Fear was his greatest weapon. Soon afterward, his flagship, Queen Anne's Revenge, ran aground near North Carolina. Now, whether it was an accident or not remains one of the greatest mysteries of pirate history. Some historians believe Blackbeard intentionally wrecked the vessel to reduce the size of his crew and increase his share of future loot. If true, it was a ruthless betrayal, they say. Afterward, he accepted a royal pardon and briefly attempted life as a respectable citizen. Well, that didn't last. Before long, he was back at sea, and powerful men wanted him dead. That responsibility fell to Lieutenant Robert Maynard. Now, in November of 1718, Maynard located Blackbeard near Ocracoke Inlet. The final battle began at dawn. Cannons thundered across the water. Smoke covered the ships. Men died within moments. Maynard realized he couldn't win a straight fight, so he devised a trap. Most of his sailors hid below deck. From a distance, the ship appeared nearly defeated. Well, Blackbeard took the bait. His pirates boarded, and suddenly Maynard's hidden men erupted from below. The battle became a brutal hand-to-hand fight. Swords clashed, pistols fired, axes swung. And somewhere in the chaos, Blackbeard fought like a man possessed. Later accounts claimed he was shot 5 times and stabbed more than 20 before finally collapsing. Whether those numbers are exaggerated or not, his resistance became legendary. When the fighting ended, Blackbeard was dead. His head was cut off, his body was thrown into the sea. And that's when history ended, but that's also when the legends began.
So Adam has just spent all this time telling us about Blackbeard's life and his exploits and his beard that apparently doubled his fireworks display and how he managed to become a pirate equivalent of like a professional wrestler. Okay.
Pretty much.
I mean, the image was so much larger than the man, and then he died. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's what the history books like to have us believe. Because if there's one thing people throughout history have struggled to do, it's to let Blackbeard stay dead. And honestly, I kind of get it. I mean, think about it. If you're living along the Carolina coast in the early 1700s and somebody says Blackbeard is sailing your direction, you're probably updating your will, hiding your valuables, and hoping he decides somebody else's town looks more interesting. I mean, he wasn't just a pirate. He was the pirate. The guy's name became synonymous with piracy itself. And when somebody larger than life dies a violent death, legends tend to follow almost immediately. And in Blackbeard's case, the ghost story may have started on the very day that he died. Now, Adam already covered the Battle of Ocracoke Inlet on November 22nd, 1718. Lieutenant Robert Maynard and his men finally cornered Blackbeard. Now, according to the contemporary accounts, like Adam said, he was shot multiple times, he was stabbed, and the point is, he didn't go down without a fight. In fact, if he had lived today, he'd probably be like a motivational speaker, you know? He'd have his own energy drink, you know, he'd be rocking. But eventually, he fell and Maynard cut his head off. That's where things get weird. Because almost immediately, stories began circulating that after Blackbeard's head was removed, his body somehow continued to keep moving. According to the legend, his headless corpse was thrown into the water, and then something impossible happened. The body rose, not floated, not drifted, it rose and began swimming. The corpse supposedly circled Maynard's ship 3 times before finally sinking between the waves forever. Now,
it's like a chicken. When you take their head off, they run for a little while. Yeah.
So, I mean, did that happen? Probably not. But what's
I like to think it
Yeah, but what's fascinating is how early that story appears. I mean, it is right after his death. I mean, these sailors got back to land and they shared this story. And it wasn't a tale that required 200 years to pass before a ghost tour decides to crank out some tickets.
Right.
This legend appears surprisingly close to the actual event. People were already telling stories that Blackbeard refused to stay dead, and that idea became the foundation for everything that followed, because from that point forward, the waters around Ocracoke became haunted, or at least many people believe they were. The area where Blackbeard died became known as Teach's Hole.
Yep.
Teach being one of the common spellings of his last name, and over 3 centuries, people have claimed something strange remains there. One of the oldest and most persistent legends involves something called Teach's Light. Now, you know, Adam and I, we love ghost lights, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Because ghost lights are one of those phenomena that show up all over the world. You'll find them in Texas, Missouri, Australia, England, even Japan has got ghost lights. So apparently ghosts love being little tiny flashlights. But Teach's light is different. For generations, fishermen and sailors have reported seeing strange lights moving across the water near the location where Blackbeard died. Sometimes witnesses describe a blue glow. Others describe what looks like a lantern. And others say it looks like an orb floating just above the waves. The really interesting detail is that many reports claim the light moves in ways that don't seem natural. Like it goes against currents or against the wind. Sometimes it appears and disappears without explanation. So local folklore quickly settled on an answer. That light was Blackbeard. More specific. Well, and
It seems weird that it's going against the grain. Like if the wind's blowing, it's going into the wind. Yeah. So it shows me that if that's the case, then it's not like what the debunkers try to say, it's a Chinese lantern.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and you think, okay, who released one Chinese lantern in the middle of the cove right here? You know what I mean?
Or that it's a bioluminescent organism.
Yeah.
You know, because if you've ever seen bioluminescent plankton or anything like that, it goes with the waves. It doesn't fight or struggle. It goes where the water goes. So yep, to be able to see a light appear to move against the waves, that's not natural. Okay.
Right.
That hints at something else. And a lot of people thought that it was Blackbeard searching for his missing head. And
why not?
I mean, that's a pretty good ghost story. I mean, how many ghost stories involve a spirit looking for their missing head? I mean, that's just common. Imagine being so terrifying in life that after death, your spirit is still wandering the ocean looking for body parts. I mean, that's rock on, dude. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I lose my car keys and I give up after a few minutes. I've got an air tag on my car keys. So it's like,
yeah, I'm not spending centuries looking for something. I'm just going to say, okay, well, my head's gone. Where's the light? Yeah. Where, how do I get to the light?
Get in my phone. Where are my keys? Beep, beep, beep. They're in my pocket. Well, you really didn't try. I sure as heck ain't going to wander the ocean for centuries looking for my head.
Right. I just thought about this too before you get started again. I have a new slogan for Ocracoke.
Okay.
With a name like Ocracoke, it has to be haunted. I may have stole that from some, like, maybe Smucker's or something. But anyway, I think it worked.
Look, it sounds like one of those failed Coca-Cola flavors. You know, we've got.
Have you ever tried Ocracoke? Slight hint of fried.
Oh man, yeah. Well, we've tried cherry and with vanilla. What about okra? We hadn't tried that.
Right. Well, here's the question: fried or stewed okra?
Stewed okra.
Have you never had stewed okra?
No, I honestly can say no.
Okay. Well, maybe it's more of like a Texas Georgia thing than it's Tennessee.
It sounds like a Southern thing for sure. I'm surprised. Everybody around here that makes okra that I've eaten, it's fried, you know.
Yep. That's the best way to do it. My grandmother made it all the time. Cut it up like you would for fried okra, so in your little rings. Yep. Then you cook it down with tomatoes and onions. And so it becomes like this soupy mass of stuff. If you like tomatoes, onions, and okra, it's good. If you don't, it's gross.
Yeah, it sounds like something I'd eat. Yeah. There's not a lot I wouldn't eat.
Yeah, it's a valid point. Me either.
But, you know, skeptics are going to point out, like we said, that there are some natural explanations for this light. Like marsh gas. Okay. Okay.
I hate that, man.
It's the worst.
that's worse than swamp gas.
I mean, you might as well just say it's an owl. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Marsh gas.
Yeah. It's always
an owl, man. I guess it could be. But out in the water? I mean, maybe if it was up against the shore.
Yeah, you would think that far out, it would dissipate and diffuse into the water before it went up in the air, caught fire somehow.
That's right.
And then floated against the wind. Yeah.
And honestly, how much gas is in these swamps and marshes? I mean, it's just a ton of gas, apparently. I mean,
well, I know there's a lot, but you have to still have to have an ignition
source. Yes, right. But why aren't we harvesting this and using it? Like all those all those little boats, man, what if you could make a boat that ran on like marsh gas? I mean, you know, you'd have something there.
Just put like a gas vacuum under the surface.
Yeah.
And just start sucking up the gas as it bubbles up.
Couldn't you make like a little balloon and go out in the swamp and ignite, you know, put a little, you know, you float up or something. Yeah.
Have you seen those crawfish shrimp crawfish boats that go out in the Louisiana bayous to do crawfishing in their traps? They got like a little wheel on the back that rolls them forward in the swamp. Just get that, and as the wheel turns the dirt, you capture any gas that bubbles up, and then you go sell it.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
I knew people in Louisiana that would go out into the swamps and catch lizards to sell at pet stores for cigarettes. I know there's a market for gas out of swamps. So that's not even a joke. That is legit. I mean,
it's a living, you know.
Yeah. Well, so if you bought a lizard in Louisiana, it could have been wild 5 minutes ago and somebody needed cigarettes.
Yeah. But other explanations are from atmospheric distortions. I don't even know what that means. You know, it's the way the clouds are coming in and it creates an effect, whatever. Reflections. Now, this one could be legit. Okay. Reflections of light from the shore. I mean, we've seen a lot of that. Other boats, which absolutely could be it. Distant lights. So you're seeing a light way far away, but because of the way it looks on the water, it appears that it's by itself much closer to you. The fact is they're probably right. One of these is probably right. In fact, several of them are, except marsh gas. I refuse to believe marsh gas. But some of these others are probably accurate, at least some of the time. Mm-hmm. But what makes this story interesting isn't whether every single report is paranormal. It's that the reports kept coming generation after generation. Long enough for an entire culture of folklore to form around them.
Right.
And the light isn't the only thing that people have reported. Many stories describe encounters with a headless figure walking along the shore. Now, usually these reports occur during storms or heavy fog or particularly bright moonlit nights. But coincidentally is exactly when I would not be outside looking for pirates. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Witnesses describe seeing a tall, dark silhouette standing near the water. Sometimes it's just standing. Sometimes it's walking. And sometimes it appears to be staring out toward the ocean and then it vanishes. No footprints, no explanation. It's just gone.
Hmm.
Now, are these modern eyewitness reports with names and dates and stuff? Not usually. And, you know, you got to be fair about that. I mean, a lot of these are old reports. You know, this isn't like Joe back in 2017 running into Blackbeard's ghost. Okay. These are old, you know, folksy, you know, your great, great grandfather said, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And most of Blackbeard's ghost stories exist in the realm of folklore, but that's exactly what makes them so fascinating. They're not isolated ghost reports. They're more or less traditions. They're stories that are passed from parent to child, fisherman to fisherman, and generation to generation. And that is a different kind of haunting altogether. This is a haunting that occurs in the memory. And Ocracoke isn't the only place where Blackbeard allegedly still roams. There are stories throughout the North Carolina coast, particularly around Springer's Point.
Yep.
Visitors have reported shadowy figures among the trees, voices that are carried on the wind, and the feeling of being watched, and apparitions walking toward the water before they disappear. But again, nothing definitive, but enough stories that local ghost tours continue telling them today. Which brings us to something I find even more interesting, because Blackbeard isn't the only pirate who supposedly came back. In fact, when we started digging into pirate hauntings, we realized that the Caribbean is absolutely packed with them. And if you're a pirate ghost, that's the one place that you're required to haunt. Let's go to Port Royal, Jamaica. This was pirate hub, okay? This was the metropolitan area for pirates. If you've never heard of Port Royal, imagine Las Vegas and then take out all the regulations and then add pirates and some rum and maybe some cannon fire and somehow make it less responsible. I mean, Port Royal was known as the wickedest city on earth. I mean, think about it. You had pirates, you had privateers, which were just legal pirates, smugglers, mercenaries. I mean, you name it. If somebody was making questionable life decisions in the 17th century, they probably made it to Port Royal at some point in time. But
probably. Yeah.
But then in 1692, disaster struck. A massive earthquake hit, and large portions of the city literally sank into the sea. Thousands of people died, and entire streets vanished beneath the water. Many people believed divine judgment had finally arrived. Because apparently when your city has a reputation as the wickedest city on earth, people tend to interpret disasters as messages.
Sure.
Now today, much of old Port Royal remains underwater, which is kind of creepy in and of itself. But local legend claim the dead never actually left. Stories tell of phantom sailors walking near the waterfront, voices emerging from empty buildings, and ghostly tavern sounds. Shadowy figures stand where streets once existed before they sunk into the harbor. And one spirit reportedly associated with the area is Sir Henry Morgan. Mm-hmm. Now, technically, Morgan was a privateer rather than a pirate, which is just basically the government's way of saying piracy is illegal unless we're the ones benefiting from it.
Yeah. Yeah. A rose by any That's other right. name, Matt.
Yeah. And Morgan became one of the most famous figures in Caribbean history. I mean, after his death, he was buried in Port Royal, but then part of the city sank. And according to legend, his grave was lost forever underneath the sea. Some stories claim that his ghost still searches for it. And that may be one of the coolest ghost concepts I've ever heard. The eternal treasure hunt. Except yeah. the treasure is your own grave. And the Bahamas have their own pirate legends. Numerous islands tell stories of phantom ships appearing offshore. Ghostly sails emerging from fog, cannon fire heard from empty horizons, ships that will appear and then vanish. Now, sailors have always seen weird things. I mean, where do you think mermaid stories came from?
Yeah, right.
When you spend enough time at sea, eventually every cloud begins to look suspicious. But these stories became attached to pirate history because pirate fleets once filled these waters, and the memories lingered, and the stories lingered. Eventually, the ghost did too. Now, one of the most interesting examples involves Black Sam Bellamy. Now, Bellamy was arguably one of the most successful pirates of the golden age. Well, like we said, boy, he was ambitious. I mean, oh, yeah. he went after it.
Yep.
Now, his ship, the Whydah, sank during a violent storm off Cape Cod in 1717. But for centuries, locals reported hearing cries during storms, or they would see strange lights offshore. Witnessing apparitions walking along the beaches anytime after severe weather, like the storm that took them out, now all the ghosts are coming to shore.
Yeah.
And then there's Charles Vane, who was one of the most feared pirates of the era. He was a contemporary of Blackbeard. Now, after being captured and executed in Jamaica, stories began circulating that his spirit haunted the execution grounds. People claimed to see hanging figures at dusk. Ropes would swing without wind, and there were footsteps where nobody stood. It's almost as if pirate ghosts refused to stay in one place, which makes sense because in life, they spent their lives wandering around. So why would they stop after death? And I think that's what makes Blackbeard different from many other famous ghosts, because a lot of the hauntings that Adam and I talk about are attached to houses or hospitals or castles or battlefields. But Blackbeard haunts an entire coastline.
Right.
His legend is spread across hundreds of miles of oceans and across generations. His ghost isn't confined to one room or one house or one building. It's attached to the sea itself. And that may be why his stories endure, because unlike an old mansion that eventually gets demolished, the ocean's still there. You know, you're looking at the same sea that was once filled with pirates, including Blackbeard. Those beaches that you stand on when you're on vacation and drink your little umbrella drink and rub sunscreen on one another, those were the same beaches that pirates landed on and unloaded their loot from the raids.
And Blackbeard stood with his shirt off, rubbing sunscreen on himself.
With a little umbrella drink.
In that same ocean.
You know, people don't know this, but Port Royal was where the umbrella drink was invented.
By Black Sam Belli. Yeah,
I don't know. I just made that up. But it sounded good.
Yeah, it's right?
Somebody somewhere is going to tell that story and go, did you know? Because they didn't listen to the rest of it.
Right. They stopped it before we said, just kidding.
Yep. They were too busy going, oh, cool. And didn't hear me say that was complete bullshit. Yeah. Now, like I said, the same waters that witnessed his death are the same waters that are in Teach's Hole every day. And every time someone sees a strange light or hears an unexplained sound or sees a dark figure standing where there isn't anybody standing, these stories get told again. And 300 years later, we're still talking about Blackbeard and we still know who he is. And that's a pretty remarkable legacy. So it's possible here that the actual haunting isn't Blackbeard's ghost, but it's Blackbeard's reputation. Because long after he died, people still would look over their shoulder when they would hear his name. And, you know, for a pirate, that's probably the best ending you could hope for.
Yep. Yep, for sure. I thought about two things while you were talking. Neither one were important enough or funny enough to interrupt you. The Black Sam Bellamy, he reminded me of what the great poets of the 90s, Brooks and Dunn, said.
Okay.
Burning my candle at both ends. Only way to keep the fire burning is to outrun the wind. That just makes me think of Black Sam Bellamy.
Yeah.
And then
apropos.
On the right. And then on the Blackbeard thing.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I don't remember where I saw this, but talking about newer sightings of Blackbeard's ghost, there is a photo going around of supposedly Blackbeard in a cemetery on Ocracoke Island. And it's hard to see because it's at night. Story is something like this: dude is walking past, hears a weird noise, looks over and sees a fog coming in, gets his phone out, takes a picture, and lo and behold, there's Blackbeard.
Yeah, right.
In the photo. Now, part of that story, though, says, well, it's because this is where Blackbeard was buried. But we know Blackbeard was not buried there. Blackbeard was buried at sea after his head was cut off. So the other question is, well, is he around Ocracoke because his treasure is buried? They say somewhere on Ocracoke, Blackbeard's treasure is still buried. And so one of the legends or whatever is you see Blackbeard occasionally because he's still out trying to dig up his treasure. Wouldn't he know
where it is?
He buried
it?
And so he wouldn't be looking for it. And if he was guarding it, once you saw Blackbeard's treasure, wouldn't you break out the, or Blackbeard's ghost, wouldn't you break out the metal detector?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's go, hey, right I'm on it. He just showed up. So I don't know. I love the buried treasure stuff.
Oh, I do too.
And that there's just so many little things about Blackbeard's treasure there on Ocracoke that fascinates me.
Now, there is a photograph that's a lot easier to find than the one you're talking about. That one you're talking about, it took some digging to find it. And it is, you kind of look at it and you're like, I don't know. There is a photo that was taken in Bath, North Carolina, of what appears to be a ghost ship. And it has been attributed to Blackbeard. Now, I think that's strictly because where he died and everything, that North Carolina kind of has this little claim on Blackbeard, you know, at least for the marketing. So, you know, you photograph a ghost ship and it's got to be Blackbeard's if you're in North Carolina. But the photo is pretty interesting. I mean, it's really hard to say that it's anything else, you know. I mean, is it probably something else? Sure. But it sure does look like a boat with a sail, with a big sail going up. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when you look at it, you're just kind of like, man, that is really creepy looking. And like I said, it was right off of Bath, North Carolina. So it has been tagged as being, you know, the photo of the ghost ship of Blackbeard the Pirate. You know, so you look that one up. I mean, it's pretty impressive. There's one where you get kind of the whole picture of it. And I mean, it really, it's a ghost ship picture. I mean, flat out. I mean, it ain't nothing else. So, but you know, what do you guys think? Do you think that there's a chance that Blackbeard's ghost is lingering around somewhere? Or do you think that just the centuries of folklore and the stories and the legend of who he was and what he did, and above that, what he represented, of that golden age of piracy, has that just kept his memory alive for all these years, that any little oddity around these areas where he was known to be get attributed to his quote unquote ghost? Let us know. And one of the best places to do that is in our Facebook group. It's called The Graveyard. We've got thousands of people in there. So it's a fantastic community of people. Just, we just love all these stories and crazy photographs and funny jokes and stuff. Just, you know, if you're not already in there, you know, jump in there. It's a lot of fun. And don't forget to check out our website, which is graveyardpodcast.com. And there you can find links to purchase Graveyard Tales merchandise. You can also listen to the show, and that is where you can become a patron. And again, thank you to everyone who continues and has in the past donated to the show, because it does keep Adam and I going. And we wouldn't still be doing this without you guys. You are the support that we rely on. So until next time, we will save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.